Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So you can mark yourselves present, and I think some of you were delayed by the rain yesterday and you came, but you weren't in time to mark yourselves present. So if you were here yesterday, but you weren't able to mark yourself present, then you can mark yourself present for today and yesterday. Today. All right, so we are right at the end of Brahma Samhita. Yesterday, we read the first verse of the very last section from 57 to 62, is Lord Krishna's instructions to Lord Brahma on how to engage himself in Krishna consciousness, taking into consideration his creative tendencies, but in such a way that he can be elevated and become a pure devotee. So we did read 57, in which the Lord basically tells Brahma that he's going to instruct him in such a way that his tendency to create can be accommodated, but along with it, he can advance in Krishna consciousness. At the end of the purport of text 57, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that the basic idea, what is going to be described, is how bhakti can be performed, can be practiced by performing worldly duties in the form of carrying out the commands of the Supreme Lord. And we did mention at the end yesterday that it's very similar, actually it's the same situation really as we find in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is a kshatriya in terms of his bodily nature, psychological nature. But the idea is to come to the spiritual platform and get out of the material world, become a pure devotee. So Krishna instructs them that you do your duty as a kshatriya, but think of me. What is it? Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Mam anusmara, always remember me, yudhyacha, and fight. In Goloka Vrindavan, they don't fight so much. Of course, sometimes the cowherd boys fight, but it's not like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Yeah, that was very bloodthirsty and wild scene. So, by material nature, Arjuna, he was like that. So, he had to fight in that way, very bold, very brave, and very powerful, crushing the enemies while remembering Krishna. And in this way, he advanced. So, that's the principle. That's the principle which Krishna is going to instruct Lord Brahma in these last five verses, 58 to 62. So let us go on now to 58. Basically, the idea in 58 is that the three stages in Krishna consciousness are referred to. How advancement in Krishna consciousness takes place in three steps. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. You can see it in the verse itself, that when the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition, this is Sambandha, when you come to understand that you are Krishna's eternal servant, then you render service. That's Abhideya. You, on the basis of that knowledge, how I'm Krishna's eternal servant, so now what must I do? I must serve him. So that Sambandha leads to Abhideya, and then finally, as a result of this, super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened towards Krishna. And that's Prayojana. So this is the basic sort of pattern, you could say. First of all, knowledge. on the basis of that knowledge of how I'm related to Krishna and how everything is related to Krishna, on the basis of that knowledge, then we serve, and then through that service, we develop love of God. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So, in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta mentions Dashamula at the bottom of page 107. The knowledge that embraces only the first seven of the 10 basic principles, Dashamula, is the knowledge of relationship. Then in text 59, we won't go on to it yet, but I'm just bringing your attention to the fact that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta again mentions Dashamula in the purport of text 59. So, Dashamula, we've written the Dashamula on the board. There's one governing principle, that is that the Vedic scriptures are the source of all knowledge. Then there are 9 principles which fall under that main principle. Of the 9, the first 7 are what? To do with what, would you say? Yes, they're all to do with Sambandha. Then number 8 is to do with Abhideya, and number 9 is to do with Prayojana. So, we're going to ask a question about this in the test. So there are 10 points. Dasha Mula means the 10 roots, literally. So there's one governing principle, number 1. And then of the remaining 9, the first 7 are to do with Sambandha. Number 8 is to do with Abhideya. And number 9 is to do with Prayojana. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says then in the purport of text 58 that the knowledge that embraces only the first 7 of the 10 basic principles is the knowledge of relationship. The nature, and then he goes on to point out how next stage is Abhideya. Abhideya is in 9, there are 9 parts to it, at least in this context. Is my writing that bad? It's the reflection. Yes. Yes, you see. It's the Brahma Jyoti. It blinds us. Anyway. We'll leave it on the board so you can write it down as you're able. Maybe at the end, perhaps, if rather than have a whole disturbance. Now, there are different ways of understanding Abhideya. Abhideya means the practical performance of devotional service. Here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the basic idea, of course, is devotional service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains here in the sense that there are 9 parts to it. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. The 9 well-known processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering, and so on. And he says that this is specifically described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And it leads to Prayojana. Then, because we do have to move on, I'm afraid. Oh, interestingly enough, there is an Ayurvedic medicine called Dashamula. Have you heard of that? And from what I understand, it's meant to be a cure-all. Everything from a sore toe to a heart attack, or I don't know, but it's meant to cure many things. So Dashamula is like that. It's meant to include everything. At least the root of everything, indicate everything in our Krishna consciousness. So then on to 59. 59 is going a little more in detail into It's going more into Sambandha and Abhideya. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. So there are basically four parts to this. First is that there is a constant endeavor. That's like the main part. There has to be a constant endeavor. That constant endeavor is sort of supported by and is dependent on and is resting on three things. One is scriptural evidence. What does that mean? That means sambandha. The actual Sanskrit term is pramanais, pramana. Pramana means the information, the evidence, the facts. So this constant endeavor for self-realization, in other words, abhideya, your practical attempts to advance in devotional service, they are resting on these three things. One is this sambandha, scriptural evidence, your understanding of what Krishna consciousness is. Secondly is theistic conduct. You have to learn how to become a proper person. Proper human being, first of all, and then a properly qualified human being, and ultimately a pure soul. So theistic conduct has to be cultivated. There's one story, I don't know if you've heard it before, of how when Srila Prabhupada, I think, first came back to India with some devotees, or one of the earlier times that he came back, they had a program in some very pious and very cultured people's house, and very wealthy people they were. And those people cooked a feast for the devotees. And it was really, you know, someone who knows how to cook Vedic style, someone who really knows how to cook. Well, that is can be quite an experience, actually. It can be different from what we may be used to in the name of prasadam. Of course, Krishna will accept anything offered with devotion. But, you know, some people are more expert than others, and this particular cook was like a super expert. Amazing food. Prasadam, and the devotees were eating, and Srila Prabhupada asked one devotee, "How do you like the prasadam?" And the devotee said, "Oh, it's very nice, Srila Prabhupada." Then Srila Prabhupada made a comment to the hosts or the various people who were there in Hindi. And of course the devotee didn't understand, but the result of what Srila Prabhupada said in Hindi was that all those people burst out laughing. And this poor devotee didn't quite know what to do, felt a little embarrassed. Afterwards, he asked one of the other devotees who was Hindi speaking, "What did Prabhupada say?" And the devotee said that Srila Prabhupada, after he asked you whether it was nice prasadam, and you said it was nice prasadam, Srila Prabhupada said, How would you know if it's nice prasadam or not? You're only used to eating dog food." So theistic conduct means, you know, first we come to the human platform from being whatever it was before, and then up to the platform of being a real pukka, pure personality. And then perseverance in practice. He basically says that what this means, perseverance in practice, is practice is no other than following the mode of service of the name practiced by the sadhus without offense. So you have to be very perseverant to overcome your tendency to commit offense and to just be spontaneously offensive or gross or whatever like that. So this constant endeavor is supported by these three things. Your sambandha, your knowledge, your trying to improve yourself, and by trying to render service without offense and keeping on even though it may be difficult because of your offensive or conditioned nature. Then, 60, so that was Sambandha and Abhideya elaborated upon further. And basically verse 60 is talking about how Abhideya leads to Prayojana. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion, than whom, or than which, perhaps, there is no superior well-being, which goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss and can lead to myself. So if you do your Abhideya nicely, your sadhana bhakti nicely, then you'll come to Prayojana and love of God, and that's the perfection of life. And ultimately you'll come to Krishna face to face. Now, in verse 61, Krishna is going to go into a little more detail, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, particularly in the purport, is going to go into more detail about the practicalities of it all. What to do, what not to do. So, 61. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. In the purport, we'll see what this meritorious performance is, what this means. The realization will correspond to the nature of your faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me, by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the supreme service. So certain things have to be abandoned. Then you have to do, he says, people of this world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. So you have to adopt some type of work, some ideal, some noble cause, and do it while meditating on Krishna, basically. This is the idea, in principle. Everyone is pursuing some ideal. So you have to pursue some ideal, work for some cause, but while meditating on Krishna. So, now as we go through the purport, it's a fairly lengthy purport. We see at the beginning on page 111, that first of all, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta tells us what not to do. These meritorious performances which should be abandoned. Things like non-differential knowledge of the Brahman, aiming at extinction of individuality. So we should give that up. Ashtanga yoga, having as its goal attainment of the state of exclusive existence. Should give that up. Atheistic, fruitive ritualism, karma, like atheistic karmakandya, aimed at material enjoyment. Should give that up. Jnana yoga dharma, seeking to combine knowledge with fruitive activity. Should give that up. And the practice, oh no, well this is part of, anyway, and or, the practice of the function of barren asceticism, dry renunciation. So we should give all that up. That's part one. Then, what should we actually do? Exclusive faith in me is trust. Faith in the form of trust, by the process of gradual purification, tends to become a constant engagement, nishtha. He explains how from Shraddha, when you have this Shraddha, you become gradually purified till you come to the level of nishta, constantly engaged. Then you develop your taste and attachment. Then you come to the level of bhava. Through this process of doing your duty while remembering Krishna. Then he raises two interesting questions. We don't want to get too technical about it, but this is towards the top of page 112. A hypothetical skeptic may raise two questions. How will it be possible to preserve worldly activities if you're always engaged in bhakti? That's the basic idea. First question. How can you maintain your worldly duties while cultivating bhakti? In other words, the two might appear to be mutually exclusive. Either you do your material duty or you do your spiritual bhakti, but how can you do the two of them? Or, alternatively, the other question is, what will be the nature of the endeavor for realization of bhakti? What will be the point of trying to do bhakti when your body will perish? In other words, what is the point of trying to do bhakti with your material body, in your material situation, and having to carry out your worldly duties? So it's like, these are two interesting questions. So then he goes on to counter those questions. Do you understand the questions? Anyone not understand the questions? What's your son's name? Yes. Hari, do you understand the questions? Okay? Good. Does everyone else understand? Anyone not understand? These are two questions. Sort of back to back. They're kind of linked with each other. Clever questions. However, in order to strike at the root of this misgiving, the Supreme Lord says, now what he does, what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta does, he gives, it's a fairly long, not quote, but he's speaking here as if he is the Supreme Person, as if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking. You can see speech marks begin there. Unfortunately, if you look through the purport, you'll see that the speech marks do not close at any point. Anyway, a minor grammatical problem. But it seems that when he quotes the verse on page 113, he reverts back to, instead of like speaking that Krishna is saying that do this for me and so on, he reverts back to like the more normal form of commentary. So as if Krishna is speaking, the Supreme Lord says, this world subsists by the constant performance of certain activities. This is what he meant by, Lord Brahma meant by how people pursue ideals. Yeah. This world subsists by the constant performance of certain activities, nice activities, which are, you know, useful. Fill all these activities with meditation of me. This will destroy the quality that makes those activities appear as acts done by you. They will then be of the nature of my service, bhakti. Then he gives in the next paragraph a whole list of such activities. eating, seating, walking, resting, sleeping, cleansing the body, covering the body, thinking, recollecting, retaining an impression, becoming aware of an entity, so on and so forth. I mean, those are like basic functions of the entity in the material world. But then he goes on to things like marrying, reciprocation between king and subject, brotherhood, attending sacrifices, offering oblations, digging wells and tanks for the benefit of the people, maintaining one's relations, practicing hospitality, proper civic conduct, showing due respect for others. So you can do duties, worthwhile duties, which normally would be considered material. But if you do them while remembering Krishna, then it becomes bhakti. How it becomes bhakti? There are different stages. There are three stages he mentions. This is towards the bottom of page 112. There are four stages. When these acts are performed for your own selfish enjoyment, they're called karmakandya. So that's stage one. When the desire for attaining freedom from activity by knowledge underlies these actions, they're called jnana yoga or karma yoga. And when these activities are managed to be performed in a way that is conducive to attaining bhakti, they're called jnana bhakta yoga. Well, some devotees, I could just mention, some devotees feel this is a, like, sort of spelling error. If you look immediately across to the right, or to the next page, just immediately across, it says that this, what is referred to here on page 112 as Jnana Bhakti Yoga, or the subsidiary devotional practices. He says that subsidiary spiritual functions are called Gauna Dharma. Now, strictly speaking, this Gauna Dharma is a more appropriate term. Gauna means indirect. They become indirect methods for cultivating bhakti. Jnana Bhakta Yoga. For one thing, I don't know, there is no such thing as Bhakta Yoga. It's Bhakti Yoga. And Jnana Bhakti Yoga. Anyway, I mean, it's a possibility. But generally, at least I prefer the term Gauna Dharma, indirect, that subsidiary activity which helps develop Krishna consciousness. But only when those activities that are characterized by the principle of pure worship, but only those activities that are characterized by the principle of pure worship are called bhakti proper. So four stages. First is karmakandya. Then when there's some knowledge and the idea of liberation, it may be jnana yoga or karma yoga. When there is some attempt at bhakti, then either jnana bhakti yoga or gauna dharma. But when they are done in a mood of pure devotion, then bhakti yoga. So the thing is, ultimately, that Brahma is being encouraged to do this jnana bhakti yoga or gauna dharma because he is kind of attached to his work. This is explained on page 113, down towards the bottom. Brahma cherishes the desire for creation in his heart. Can you see where we are? We're about 8 lines up from the bottom of page 113. If that creative desire is practiced by conjoining the same with the meditation of obeying the command of the Supreme Lord, then it will be a subsidiary spiritual function, Gauna Dharma, being helpful for the growth of the disposition for the service of the divinity. It was certainly proper to instruct Brahma in this manner. Yeah. this is the right sort of instruction for someone like Brahma. Even though it's not exactly pure devotional service, but it's these, he can do his natural duty while remembering Krishna and cultivating knowledge and remembrance of Krishna, and bhakti proper will gradually arise in the heart. And to distinguish between Brahma, who's in his situation, and someone who may be more advanced, who can just become absorbed in pure devotional service, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta concludes the purport by saying, at the bottom of page 113, there is no occasion, there's no need for such instruction in the case of a jiva, in whom the spontaneous aversion for entities other than Krishna manifests itself on his attainment of the level of bhava. When a person is totally detached from the material world altogether, and any conception of needing to do bodily duties, and when they've come to that stage through coming to the level of bhava, they don't need to be instructed in this way, as Brahma is being instructed. And this brings us then to the last verse, verse 62. And here we have some, this is real Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Straight Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Listen, O Vidhi. Vidhi means regulator. I am the seed, that is, the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhan, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, the material cause. And I am Purusha, the efficient cause. Means I am the material nature and I am Shambhu. This fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. What is that fiery energy? That is the passionate energy to create. So it's coming also from Krishna. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects. So do your work of creation by the force of this fiery energy, but understand it's coming from me, and in this way always remember me, and always see how you're connected with me, and in this way be Krishna conscious, and become fully Krishna conscious. So this is the basic idea. So, and this is all Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, of course, we can see that very clearly. And then again, in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta adopts the mode of commentary of commenting in the form as if Krishna is himself speaking. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is speaking, of course, but he's commenting as if Krishna is speaking. So I think I'll just, that's the basic point, what I mentioned. We can just conclude by looking at the last part of the purport on page 116, about 10 lines from the bottom or so. This simultaneous distinction and non-difference has also sprung from my inconceivable potency. So Brahma should understand Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, see everything as one and different from Krishna, including his own creative potency. So let the attainment of love for Krishna by the practice of pure devotion, through the knowledge of their mutual true relationship that subsists between the jiva, the jada, matter, and Krishna, based on the principle of inconceivable, simultaneous distinction and non-difference, be my instruction for being handed down in the order of spiritual precept, perceptional succession in your community, Sri Brahma Sampradaya. So, this Achintyabhedabhe Tattva philosophy, the term was given by Jiva Goswami. The philosophy was enunciated by Lord Chaitanya. He spoke Achintyabhedabhe Tattva a lot. But Jiva Goswami was the one who named it Achintyabhedabhe Tattva. But that Achintyabhedabhe Tattva philosophy is not the creation of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, it is the fundamental philosophical concept, really, in our Brahma Sampradaya. Everything is one and different from Krishna. So here in Brahma Samhita, that very ancient scripture, Krishna is telling Lord Brahma that you should remember the way to see everything is in terms of Achintyabhedabhe Tattva. Everything is me, at the same time not me. So you do your service remembering me in that way and you'll become fully Krishna conscious. And you hand this down in your sampradaya. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Anga means there are eight parts to it. Eight limbs. Yama. Yama, niyama. What is it? Asana, pranayama. What is it? Pratyahara, dharana, dhyan, samadhi. So it's a mechanical process for elevating oneself. First of all, by yama. Yama means do nots. Then niyama means things you should do. So first of all, you accept regulative principles. Then next is asana, physical exercises. Next is pranayama, breathing exercises. Next is pratyahara. You try to withdraw your consciousness from the body and meditate. Dharana means that you are able to do that fairly well. Dhyan means you're very much, you're fully absorbed in your meditation. And samadhi means that you enter trance of meditation. Such Ashtanga Yoga. It includes what is popularly called Hatha Yoga. Mechanical process. First of all, you control the body, then the breathing system, then the mind, and then go into a complete meditative trance that usually ends up on the supersoul. Okay. There's the Sadashiva, who's a form of Krishna for pastimes, and he has a Vaikuntha planet. That's described in Adi Leela, chapter 6, verse 79, purport, by Srila Prabhupada. Then there is Shambhu, who is the glance of Mahavishnu, and the predominating form of Lord Shiva, predominating over the entire material nature. So that's number two. Well, they all are. Well, particularly these ones, the last three. Yeah. So he's Shiva Tattva. He's yogurt, as distinct from milk. Then he expands in every universe as Lord Shiva on Kailash. They can all be called Mahesh. Yeah. But he can also be called Rudra. That's the Lord Shiva who came from the forehead of Lord Brahma. And he is one of the three presiding deities in this universe. Vishnu, Brahma, and himself. Then there are the 11 Rudras who came from that Rudra. And they were going to destroy the universe, but they were told, no, wait. So they were sent to Mahakala Dham, and they're waiting there to destroy the universe. So those appear to be four fairly distinct features of the person known as Lord Shiva. Much, please forgive me for any and all the many shortcomings in the Course, and I hope Krishna is merciful to you in your ongoing attempts to advance in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.